Whether you're new to aviation or an experienced pilot looking to advance your skills, Go Vertical Aviation has you covered. With an excellent learning atmosphere and a staff committed to excellence in education, Go Vertical Aviation will customize a learning program just for you. For more information, go to goverticalaviation.com or call 256-412-5226. Be sure to follow Go Vertical Aviation on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Don't just go. Go Vertical.
Boutique Air in Muscle Shoals, Alabama offers direct flights to Atlanta, Nashville, and Pensacola. Boutique Air service runs twice daily, 7 days a week, with fares starting at $59. Follow Boutique Air Muscle Shoals on Facebook at Boutique Air MSL and book your flight through BoutiqueAir.com. Boutique Air.
Where you can fly private for the cost of commercial.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the legal services performed by other lawyers. My wife and I sat down with Harlan Mitchell and discussed our own estate planning needs. I know in our experience, Harlan brought up questions that caused us to think about our current situation and what we need to do moving forward. When you sit down with Harlan for your free consultation, you're going to find out things that you may have not thought about when it comes to estate planning. I encourage you to go to BamaEstatePlanning.com or give Harlan Mitchell a call at 256-216-9884 and schedule your free consultation today.
Would you like enhanced energy, better moods, less fatigue, help with allergies, better sleep, mental clarity, or just want improvement of your overall immune health and well-being? Do you need to recover from intense activities, workouts, or sports? Then IV therapy at the Drip Factor inside Trinity Medical Center is right for you. Our IV drips are filled with nutrients, vitamins, and minerals that will help your body replenish, restore, and achieve your wellness goals. For more information, visit trinity-medicalcare.com and schedule your appointment today at Trinity Medical Center, located at 500 Governor's Drive.
Experience the difference at Athens Bible School. The vision and purpose is to provide each student a quality education in a Christ-centered environment to develop the whole person spiritually, mentally, physically, and socially in safe and supportive surroundings. The solid biblical foundation permeates learning and culture in the classrooms and every extracurricular activity.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark Wyatt Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
Hey y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference. Somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark Wyatt Show.
Hi, this is Maggie Peterson. I played Charlene Darling on The Andy Griffith Show, and you are listening to The Mark Wyatt Show.
Hi, folks. This is Ricky Skaggs, and you're listening to The Mark Wyatt Show.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark Wyatt Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark Wyatt Show. My daddy is your host, Mark Wyatt. Something
good today. Welcome to another edition of The Mark Wyatt Show. I am your host, Mark Wyatt. And the other day on The Mark Wyatt Show page, I posted simply a Frito-Lay bag. They had recognized Carry the Load on the back of their Frito bag. So I reached out to Carry the Load to find out more about this special organization. I was connected with Carry the Load Ambassador Brian Larson. Brian is on the line with me right now. Welcome to The Mark Wyatt Show, Brian.
Thank you, Mark.
Glad to have you on the show. I appreciate being able to talk to you today about Carry the Load and what you all are doing to help military, first responders, veterans. It sounds like a really great organization to me, Brian.
It's a blessing for me to be a part of it, and I appreciate any chance I get to tell people about it. So thank you for letting us come tell our story.
I guess the basic question for people listening right now who have never heard of Carry the Load, maybe they haven't bought a bag of Fritos yet. What is Carry the Load, Brian?
So we describe Carry the Load as a movement. Really. It started out as an effort by a handful of guys, Stephen Holly and Clint Bruce, two Navy SEALs that were really kind of struck by how Memorial Day is typically recognized or celebrated by people. You know, it's barbecues and the kickoff to summer and sales in all your favorite stores. But they felt like their fallen brothers and sisters were forgotten. And so it started out as an effort to restore that true meaning of Memorial Day and honor the fallen. And It's translated now into a organization that has a mission of providing an active way to honor and remember those heroes. They connect Americans with the sacrifices made by the military, by veterans, first responders, by their families, the load that's still being carried by Gold Star family members. And we do that through a number of events, and the one being really promoted with that Fritos bag right now is in Memorial May. And we make an effort to raise awareness for this movement. We've got relays walking across the country, carrying flags from the four corners of the country to meet here in Dallas for Memorial Day weekend, where we do our Dallas Memorial March. And we honor the memories of those fallen heroes, and we use it as a way to give back and raise funds in that active way for a number of nonprofit partners that support military, active military veterans, those that still need our support, the families that some of them left behind, first responders, firefighters, police, et cetera.
To give listeners some of your background, you graduated from the U.S. Military Academy at West Point in 2005 and were commissioned as an infantry officer. You were deployed to Baghdad, Iraq with the 1st Cavalry Division as a platoon leader and company executive officer, and served in the 3rd U.S. Infantry Regiment called the Old Guard at Arlington National Cemetery, and your final military assignment was commanding the Presidential Salute Battery. Now, yesterday, I was recognizing Matt Melancon, and Matt served in Iraq as well. He turned down the Old Guard to go serve in the Middle East, and he actually lost both of his legs as an IED exploded under his vehicle. Matt's story is one of courage, bravery, and taking a situation that he thought he couldn't move forward with, having both of his legs amputated, and becoming part of what's called Operation Rebound through the Challenge Athletes Foundation, is now a snowboarder. He challenges the mountains now with the snow with special equipment that he's been given through Challenged Athletes Foundation Operation Rebound. The connection here that I wanted to bring up was your military service and your passion for serving in this particular organization.
It sounds like a great organization, and that's one of the types of functions that I love that Carry the Load supports. You know, a lot of what people need assistance with, what the veterans that come home need assistance with, it could be medical, like you mentioned, going through the hospitals. A lot of it, though, is just transition. You're losing a community, and this is a great way to reconnect with it. And giving a new lease on life in some ways. We've got some fantastic organizations that help with finding new employment for transitioning military, don't know what they want to do next. There's an organization, for example, called Farm that will teach them how to get into the agricultural business, where they kind of recognize the deficit of transitioning military looking for a purpose and a career field that fewer and fewer people are going into, so they'll train them in that. Or we've got groups like Adaptive Training Foundation that will take somebody who's made it through an injury, some sort of a traumatic event, like a limb loss in an IED, like you just mentioned, and they will put them with personal trainers and teach them how to persevere and overcome and really kind of regain the strength and the function and the functionality. Recognize that they're not, things aren't over because of this. You get Adaptive Training Foundation athletes out there walking up and down the trail that carry the load. It's really hard to quit on a walk when you're marching back and forth, reading all these memorials, and you see a guy walking on his prosthetic with a leg that says, you know, every day is leg day. Really hard to quit when you're seeing him keep moving. So you keep on going and walking and seeing more and more of these stories that people get to share on the march.
Absolutely. And how did you come to be an ambassador for Carry the Load, Brian?
So it's just the organization and being involved in it has given me so much just in terms of healing. So this will be my 8th year participating in Carry the Load. Got pretty heavily involved, got a previous employer and a bunch of folks involved on a team participating in the march then. And when I had a career change, I kind of reached out to the organization and asked, how can I stay involved? Because this is this is one of the few non-negotiables in our family's calendar throughout the years. We will be at the march every year, and I'll be there start to finish. You know, my son has walked it as a toddler on a broken foot, because we just wouldn't miss it. It's a place where we get to go connect with a community that feels the same things that we do, that values the same things we do. And it's a great way to introduce in a very approachable and active way what can be an unapproachable topic. Around this time of year, there's a lot of memories, a lot of emotions for people that are remembering things. And sometimes it can be a difficult idea to bring up, that, you know, hey, I hate to interrupt your barbecue, but this is why you have this holiday. And this is a great thing that I've been able to invite a lot of people to come out and walk them up and down the trail, and give them an opportunity to read the memorial storyboards for fallen heroes, and introduce them, so to speak, to several of my friends that are honored on the trail, and allow me an opportunity to share their stories.
And Brian, that really does lead to the impact that Carry the Load has had on others so far, and the impact that it can have on people. You talk about Memorial Day and the things that people do on Memorial Day, and maybe this is one of those organizations that people can become aware of, and suddenly it changes what Memorial Day means to them.
Absolutely. I always tell people, if they're considering coming out to the event, you know, you always have people who have their normal routine for Memorial Day. And, you know, I tell them, just come on out. You can come out to the march for in Dallas, if you're here locally, for 20 minutes or 20 hours. It'll be going on. In either way, you're going to leave impacted. And virtually everybody who I've invited and has come out before has reached out to me afterwards and said, you know what, we went home and we talked about it as a family. This is what we're doing every year, because this is what it's about. And now, if you're not local to Dallas, there's still plenty of ways to get involved, to interact with it. All of our nonprofit partners have kind of coalesced into this great community, this family of people who are giving back to these heroes, these fallen heroes and their families. But with the national relays, that's something that's really been beautiful to watch how it's grown. They cross the country, and you can go to carrytheload.org and you can see the relay routes, where they're walking on any given day. If you find that they're not visiting somewhere close to you, reach out to the organization, because we do rallies along the relay routes. There's a West Coast route, an East Coast route, a Midwest route, a Rocky Mountains route, carrying flags to converge on Dallas. And the way all of the rallies along those routes have come to be is somebody reached out and said, hey, I'll host something. I will be the point of contact, and we'll get a group of people walking across. I want a group of people walking across my hometown with flags and carrying some of these memorials and having an opportunity to share the story of the people that I want to honor. So you can connect throughout the month of May with those relays. And at any of the rallies along there, you can come to the Memorial March here in Dallas and participate that way. We raise funds, like I said, for the nonprofit partners. So far, we've already raised over $1 million this May, going towards those nonprofit partners, well on the way to hitting our target for this year, which we're so excited about in our 10th year, especially after how COVID impacted everything last year. As an organization, it's raised over $28.6 million throughout this 10-year process for these great organizations. We've also formed another way to be involved, a partnership with the National Cemetery Association. It's something that gives people an opportunity to go out and volunteer. You can clean headstones. You can help the groundskeeping staff there. That it's always a beautiful, somber, peaceful time to go and see and experience and really, you know, honor there. So make sure that when the family or friends come to visit, it's the kind of peaceful, beautiful place that it should be. Tons of opportunities, tons of ways to get involved, or, you know, springboard off of that and find one of the nonprofit partners that really speaks to you and you have an opportunity to give back to.
I actually did a show, Brian, not too long ago on national cemeteries and the impact that they have on the families who have lost loved ones and the great work that they do to honor and recognize those that we've lost in service to our country. It's an amazing effort there. Right now, folks, I'm talking to Brian Larson. He graduated from West Point in 2005 and commissioned as an infantry officer. He was deployed to Baghdad, Iraq, with the 1st Cavalry Division as a platoon leader and company executive officer, and served in the 3rd U.S. Infantry Regiment, the Old Guard, at Arlington Cemetery. His final military assignment was commanding the Presidential Salute Battery. And now I'm talking to him about Carry the Load. He's an ambassador. And when we come back, I want to have a call to action. You as a listener, you've been hearing about Carry the Load, and I want to give you an opportunity to plug in and be a part of Carry the Load effort. Will you stick with me, Brian?
Absolutely.
Folks, I hope you'll stick with us as I continue this conversation with Ambassador Brian Larson with Carry the Load. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
A little wink, a pat on the back, a big old hug, a little laugh. We can make a difference. All we have to do is try. Every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today.
Whether you're new to aviation or an experienced pilot looking to advance your skills, Go Vertical Aviation has you covered. With an excellent learning atmosphere and a staff committed to excellence in education, Go Vertical Aviation will customize a learning program just for you. For more information, go to goverticalaviation.com or call 256-412-5226. Be sure to follow Go Vertical Aviation on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Don't just go. Go Vertical.
Boutique Air in Muscle Shoals, Alabama offers direct flights to Atlanta, Nashville, and Pensacola. Boutique Air service runs twice daily, 7 days a week, with fares starting at $59. Follow Boutique Air Muscle Shoals on Facebook at Boutique Air MSL and book your flight through boutiqueair.com. Boutique Air.
Where you can fly private for the cost of commercial.
The best way to buy, sell, and experience land is with Jonathan Berryhill. For your farm, ranch, recreational, hunting, timber, and acreage needs, contact National Land Realty Professional Jonathan Berryhill at 256-874-7354 or email at jberryhill@nationalland.com. Be sure to follow Jonathan Berryhill with National Land Realty on Facebook. This is your land.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the legal services performed by other lawyers.
Losing a loved one is hard, but losing a loved one and not having an estate plan is even harder. Attorney Harlan Mitchell witnessed what not having an estate plan can do to families and decided to use his experience to do something about it. I encourage you to go to BamaEstatePlanning.com or give Harlan Mitchell a call at 256-216-9884. Again, that website is BamaEstatePlanning.com. Let Harlan Mitchell help you with estate planning. Do it for those you love and do it today.
He's got a cold, nothing to worry about.
Just need a couple of stitches.
Your COVID rapid test is negative.
Oh boy, x-ray shows it's broken.
Trust Trinity Medical Care when you need urgent care or routine medical care. Walk-ins are welcome, or let Trinity help you virtually with telemedicine. Visit trinity-medicalcare.com for more information and follow them on Facebook. Trinity Medical Care, where your care comes first. Located on Governor's Drive and South Parkway.
Hey everybody, this is Paul Overstreet, and you are listening to The Mark White Show. Stay tuned, because Mark is doing some things on his show that's helping his community and uplifting people, so you stay with him.
city works extra hard all day, finishes up early so he can get away. 'Cause there's a blue-eyed kid on second base, wants dad to watch him play. Daddy knows.
Welcome back to the Mark White Show. I am your host, Mark White, and as I mentioned in the first segment, I saw a picture of a Fritos bag, and on the back of it, they were recognizing Carry the Load. I wanted to be able to recognize this special organization, so I reached out to them, and I was connected with Ambassador Brian Larson. He's on the line with us right now. Welcome back to the Mark White Show, Brian.
Thanks, Mark.
We have talked about Carry the Load, the impact that it has had thus far. We want people who have been listening to be a part of this effort. And this segment, I want to have a call to action. I want to give people an opportunity to connect with Carry the Load, and I want you to be able to share how you would like to see people connect with this organization.
Absolutely. I'd say first and foremost, the mission is to restore the true meaning of Memorial Day and have an active way to do it. So for me, first things first is putting that right perspective in there of why you have that holiday, understanding that, researching it. We'd love to help raise the awareness with that. And so reaching out to the organization, wherever you are, whether you're involved in one of our events or not, understand what the day is about and honor that, because that's really our focus, to make sure that those names of those fallen heroes are not forgotten. But beyond that, we've got three primary programs. There are ways to get involved. One is our awareness program. So what you can do in the awareness program, you can submit memorials. You can submit to the organization. We prepare storyboards. And at our key event, our main event, the Dallas Memorial March, those storyboards will be lining the street and the walking path and giving everybody that goes an opportunity to read about your loved one. They'll also be posted on our online tribute wall. Share those stories. As long as their names are repeated, as long as their memories are out there, they can't tell the story. If you're still drawing breath, right, the Memorial Day is not honoring you. It's for those people who can't anymore. So we have to tell their stories. So participating in the awareness program is key there. Our continuum of care program, I mentioned the nonprofit partnerships. We've got, I believe, 49 nonprofit partners this year that serve, provide a variety of services to this community, to those who have served and lost or their loved ones. And you can give back to that through donations and participation. Everybody who registers for the march, you receive a fundraising site where you're able to go. You can customize it and tell your story. I have mine telling about the people that the question we always ask is, who are you carrying? My site tells about who I'm carrying and why this is so important to me, to tell their story and honor them. It allows those funds to come in. It's not something you got to pay to participate in. You can just show up the day of, but it gives you an opportunity to make your active participation give back to these great programs, these great organizations that provide care such as adaptive training or homes for heroes, transitions, job support, scholarships for Gold Star children. And then finally, we have our education program, which throughout the year, we look for ways to inspire patriotism in our nation's youth, teach them about service and sacrifice. Those programs, we provide materials, curriculum, training, and we can work with organizations anywhere. It's something that fits in schools or church groups or scout troops or anything like that. There's ways to stay involved there so that we can pass on why this is so important to us to the next generation. So as far as ways to get involved, all of them can be found on carrytheload.org. And by going there, you can see the national relay routes. You can see the locations of the rallies along the national relays. You can register for the Memorial March that runs from this year, from Sunday, May 30th, all the way overnight and ends in the afternoon of Memorial Day itself, where we'll be walking up and down the trail and raising awareness and funds there. And then ways to volunteer throughout the year, whether it's with Carry the Flag, that education program, or volunteering at the national cemeteries, just give back and honor their sacrifice by understanding what it was about. Basically, be worthy of their sacrifice.
Absolutely. And if people want to follow on social media, I'm guessing that there are several platforms to do that as well.
Absolutely. They're on all the major social medias. We do periodic live interviews. So they just recently did one with a Medal of Honor recipient who talked about the significance of the event. Right now they're doing daily Heroes of the Day throughout Memorial May, where as the relays are passing through certain locations across the country, they find local people connected to those sites that are honored as part of our organization, and they share about that person and tell their story and their sacrifice. Lots of great content there. They also link to all the social medias for our nonprofit partners to tell about the amazing work that they're doing and how they're participating in this movement as well.
It's an amazing cause, Carry the Load, and I do want listeners to check it out to find out more information about Carry the Load, and in particular, as we approach Memorial Day, to consider why you're there, why we have Memorial Day, and what the purpose is, and then incorporate that into whatever you do to celebrate Memorial Day, incorporate that and memorialize those who have served and given their lives as a sacrifice for us, for our country.
Absolutely. I it's something that I view as a true blessing and an opportunity to get a chance to participate in. A lot of guys like me have struggled, men and women have struggled for a long period of time to figure out how to communicate what this organization helps us communicate, which is telling about the memories, sharing the things that we ask the question, who are you carrying? There's been a disconnect really within the country over this last couple of years or decades where there's been so much sacrifice. And it's been concentrated into specific communities, and it makes it hard to relate to. But this gives us a chance to tell their stories. Like I said, I've got 34 names on my list that I actively remember and tell people about. Several of them are honored on that trail. My son's named after two of them. He knows he gets to read his namesake's memorials every year on the march.
Wow.
And having an opportunity to share about them, whether it's classmates, whether it's guys from my unit in Iraq. In some cases, it's people whose funerals I conducted when I was at Arlington Cemetery, or a childhood friend, all of them. Giving the opportunity to share it is life-giving in something that we're honoring where somebody's life was taken.
Do you have those names in front of you now, Brian?
I do. I'll highlight two in particular that I've had storyboards along the trail.
It would be fine with me if you want to highlight those two. If you want to just name off the 34, that's fine as well.
Okay. Well, so the two in particular that I'll tell you about, because they have storyboards on the trail. Sergeant Jack Taft Hennessy. So Sergeant Hennessy, Jack was a childhood friend of mine. We grew up together. We played on the same soccer team. We were lifeguards together as kids. Graduated high school together. He went off and enlisted when I went off to the military academy. We talked before his deployment, and before I made it out of school, he was killed on October 1st, 2004 in Baghdad. He was the first friend that I lost in these wars, and that's where my son gets his first name from. My son's first name is Jack. So Jack's memorial is on that trail, and it's an honor to get to share about him. He was a leader. He was a riot to be around. Tons of life in there. He was a life short, play hard kind of guy, and embodied that right to the end. And when he died as a hero, leading his soldiers. The second one that I'll highlight specifically is First Lieutenant Christopher Gakey. Chris died in July of 2010. He was 3 years behind me at school. So when I was a senior, he was a freshman, which you don't normally get an opportunity to really interact a lot with between the upperclassmen and the freshmen, at least not in a very deeply connected personal way as far as the military academy and the training program that they go through. But Chris and I were able to form a friendship and a connection through several church programs that were there. We taught Sunday school together. One of the absolute best men I've ever known in my life. He graduated sixth in his class. He was an infantry officer, and he died in Afghanistan. Again, as a hero, he was on they were on their downtime. They were resting on a FOB. And the wall on the FOB where they were in Kandahar was partially breached. People were getting into the compound, and Chris was able to lead his guys and go stop the attack enough for them to regain security. And in small arms fire and RPGs, he was killed there leading his troops. And that's where my son gets his middle name from. So Jack Christopher is my son. And both of them have had memorials on the storyboard. Last year, Chris was one of the heroes of the day in the Midwest Relay, because it kicked off near where he's buried at Fort Snelling National Cemetery in Minneapolis. And having the opportunity to share them and why it's impactful to me, I've wept with friends in front of the storyboards that are hanging on the side of the trail, but there just aren't natural ways to share it in your day-to-day life like that. So those are the two that I highlight most often, and I'm proud that they're hung on the trail. Love to work through all of the others over time and get more of them represented. The rest of them that are represented are relatively even split between, I've got 15 friends and people that I knew from going through West Point, classmates, people a class or two ahead of me or behind me, that I honor and I remember every Memorial May. Another group of about 15 who were in my unit in Iraq that were killed while we were there. It works out as a somber but beautiful synergy that all of this takes place through Memorial May. May was the deadliest month of our deployment by far. And so 14 years ago, we were right in the thick of it in the middle of Baghdad. And for a lot of us, a lot of the guys that were in that unit, we kind of refer to May 19th as our own personal Memorial Day because we lost six guys that day. And so we'll share about them. I post on my social media all through the month of May each of these names and their stories, pictures, because it's not just a number. It's not just a number of casualties, but try and make it relatable. Understand that these men and women left families behind. They left children behind. They left brothers and sisters and parents. They left a memory that should be honored and remembered.
Yes.
The others, a couple of guys I served with in the old guard or was connected with in the old guard. Two of them are actually for funerals that I conducted. One of them, we were at West Point at the same time. He was killed on active duty. He was called back to active duty, actually. He'd gotten out of the military and came back in, was called back in, conducted his funeral. I didn't know him at school, but was honored to have a chance to help lay him to rest at Arlington. Another one, kind of an interesting story. The first active duty KIA funeral that I performed at Arlington was actually a group burial from World War II. It was a plane that had gone down during the war, never been recovered, presumed dead. They'd done the funeral way back when, and somebody uncovered some of the remains of the wreckage, and they were able to turn up and recover the casualties, recover the fallen service members, and bring them back, and we were able to conduct. They were still entitled to exactly the same honors as if they'd died today in Iraq or Afghanistan or in a contemporary war. So we got them, we brought them back, and we were able to conduct their funeral in Arlington back in 2008. So one of those names, First Lieutenant Pascal, he's also honored on the trail, so I was able to put in a storyboard for him. So I've got a mix of people from a number of walks of life, from all over the country, coast to coast, people I've interacted with in different ways, and they've all they've all impacted me. And I was having this conversation with a friend this week that telling the story about their lives in this time, so their deaths were so impactful to me, and wanting to share and connect with other people so that they understand and then use that as a motivation for me to just go deeper with people because I, you know, in a way I can honor their memory by not missing another opportunity to make their make somebody's lives be more impactful on me the way that these guys' deaths have been for me. So a lot of amazing stories that you could go into detail on these names on my list. I mean, some fantastic human beings who were truly the best of the best and were taken from us too early. Heroes that inspired their soldiers and led them well. You've got people who gave back to their communities and served selflessly. You've got people with inspirational stories, an Olympic level athlete, or people who achieved exceptional things in an all too short life. All of them should be honored and remembered.
Absolutely. Do y'all recognize service members who took their lives?
We do.
And first responders as well?
We do. Really, our focus is service-connected loss.
Okay.
So if that's the contributing factor, then, absolutely. And who are we to say that it's not? Absolutely. We honor those who've taken their lives. It's such a profound and pervasive struggle that so many people deal with. The loads that they carry just internally, dealing with these memories and maybe not having an outlet like Carry the Load or the type of support that you get from the organizations that Carry the Load supports. 22 Kill is one of the nonprofit partners that is their primary focus, is preventing that from happening in veterans, preventing veteran suicide, giving them hope and purpose and community and connection. And that's what the community aspect of this event does so beautifully. I'll tell a brief story on connection. So I told you about Jack Hennessy, he's got a storyboard on the trail. At the end of each of the marches, they take down all the storyboards and they bring them in, and they have a closing ceremony. And at the closing ceremony, volunteers line up and you can carry in a memorial storyboard. So they parade all of them in for the end of the event. So we camped out because we wanted to make sure that we got Jack's storyboard and we got Chris's storyboard. So I carried one, my son carried one, and we wanted to carry them into the end. And we were standing there holding these storyboards, waiting for the parade into the closing ceremony to start. Guy walks by, points at the story or at Jack's storyboard, goes, "Huh, I knew him." And then he was starting to keep walking, like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, what do you mean you knew him?" We got into exchanging his story. He got to know him through basic training and was in his unit in Iraq with him when he died, when he was killed. And I got to tell the story of growing up with him, and we've been able to connect repeatedly. We look forward to seeing each other out on the trail every year since then. And then he introduced me to a couple other guys that knew Jack as well. So by creating this community, you're sharing their stories, you're keeping their memories alive, you're honoring them, but then you're also connecting with other people who are in the same boat you're in, right? They're in the same position, and that's healing to know that you're not alone in some of these struggles that people go through, carrying these memories and not having anybody to help shoulder it with them. The event by itself just creates opportunities like that for connection, for communal healing.
Well, I was talking to him this morning, Christopher Lowrance. He's a retired police officer from Gaston County Police Department in North Carolina. He's currently riding 4,300 miles on his bicycle across the country. He is at the border of Idaho and Montana as we speak. And he's riding to bring awareness to first responder suicide, law enforcement first responder suicide, and bring awareness to an organization called Blue Help, which keeps track of those who have taken their lives in law enforcement and also first responder community as well.
That's fantastic. I have a classmate from West Point right now, not involved with Carry the Load, but he's walking 1,800 miles right now to do the same thing. He's stopping at speaking engagements across the country, moving through the Southeast right now to raise awareness for the struggles with PTSD that people have. People aren't alone. There's other people going through the same thing, but there's support and a community that loves them out there, that wants to support them, that wants to rally around them.
If you've got the list in front of you, we'll let you call out the list if you'd like to do that.
Sounds good. I'd mentioned before my two friends, Sergeant Jack Hennessy and First Lieutenant Christopher Gakey. They're honored on the trail. Along with them, in my other list of names, the people that I remember every year, Captain John Ryan Dennison. Dennison was a year ahead of me at West Point. He was killed in Iraq. He's buried in Section 60 in Arlington Cemetery. I was had the privilege of getting to visit his grave often while I was working there. I also remember Sergeant Christopher Strasso. He was a member of our battalion. He was killed in Baghdad in December of 2006. Specialist Andy Weiss, who was another member of my battalion. He was killed by an IED in May of 2007 in Baghdad. Then Staff Sergeant Christopher Hamlin was another member of my battalion that was killed the next day in May 4th of 2007. And then the following day, after Sergeant Hamlin was killed, PFC Larry Isaiah Guyton died from our battalion on May 5th of 2007 in Iraq from the same IED attack. He held on a little bit longer. Like I said, it was a bad month for our battalion. On May 6th in 2007. Staff Sergeant Chris Kiernan was killed as well by small arms fire in Baghdad, another member of our battalion that we lost that day. A classmate that I remember each year, Second Lieutenant Emily Perez. She graduated with me. She was killed on September 12th, 2006 by an IED attack in Iraq. She was the first member of our class that was killed in combat, and she's was just a joyful, incredibly impressive woman. She was first member of our class to die in combat. She was the first female minority cadet brigade commander or command sergeant major at West Point. And she was the first female West Point graduate to die in the Iraq War. Just a joy to be around, a light to people, and taken too early. I remember Colonel Theodore Westhusing. He was a professor that I worked with at West Point when I was there as a cadet, as a student, and he was killed in Baghdad in 2005, in June of 2005. I remember First Lieutenant Laura Walker. She was 2 years ahead of me at West Point. She was the first female West Point graduate to be killed in combat. The class of 1980 was the first year that they had females as part of the West Point class. And so in the war's sense, she has that unfortunate distinction. She was an Olympic level athlete, and her, she had a brother that was a classmate of mine. I remember Specialist Donald Young, who was a member of my battalion, killed in, August 8th, 2007. He was the last casualty of our deployment before we went home, killed by an IED. Another classmate of mine is, First Lieutenant Philip Neal. Phil was a classmate of mine, killed in April of 2007 on Easter Sunday from wounds from enemy grenades in Iraq. Got to know him through church activities and was just a kind, compassionate leader. Also another classmate, Captain Matt Ferrara. He was killed in November of 2007 during a small arms ambush in Afghanistan. And it was supposed to be his final patrol before moving to a new role. All of his brothers have served and deployed as well. Another classmate, First Lieutenant Jacob Fritz, he was a
classmate of mine that I got to know through some cadet clubs at school and was killed in January 2007 by a group of insurgents and firearms in Iraq. Sergeant Matthew Afwan was a member of my battalion in Iraq, and he was killed in February of 2007. He was shot on a patrol. It was his second deployment to Iraq. First Lieutenant Neil Shank was another classmate of mine that died while he was deployed to Baghdad and in March of 2007. First Lieutenant Jonathan Eads, another classmate of mine, was killed by an IED in Baghdad in August of 2007. The Sergeant Louis Festuca was in the Old Guard with me, the unit, the Honor Guard that serves at Arlington National Cemetery. After he left that assignment, he was part of the 173rd Airborne, which is based out of Vicenza, Italy. He deployed from there and was killed by an IED in eastern Afghanistan in July of 2010. The another classmate, First Lieutenant Thomas Martin, was killed while he was on patrol in Iraq in October of 2007. A group that we usually talk about, the community from our battalion, we remember together. We all lost on May 19th in 2007. Sergeant Gene Medellin, he was one of these six men who were all in the same IED attack, along with Specialist David Beerley, PFC Travis Hazlett, Staff Sergeant Christopher Moore, PFC Alex Varela, Specialist Joseph Gilmore, who was their medic. Massive IED explosion took all of them from us very quickly. And then on the same day, every year when I do the posts, I also post about Sergeant Hennessy, about my friend Jack, because that May 19th was his birthday as well. So we just wished him a happy heavenly birthday here a couple days ago. First Lieutenant Tim Cunningham was a year behind me at school. I got to know through church activities at West Point, and he died during a patrol in Iraq near Baghdad in April of 2008. Mentioned before about First Lieutenant Raymond Pascal, his flight crew was recovered after they'd gone down in World War II, and we had the opportunity to conduct their funeral in Arlington. So he was killed in July of 1944, but we still get a chance to honor and remember him all the same. Captain Adam Snyder, another classmate of mine, died in December of 2007 in Iraq after an IED attack. Another classmate, Captain Scott Pace, was killed along with one other soldier during a helicopter crash. He was an aviator, and he was killed in Afghanistan after they were hit by Taliban gunfire. Specialist Robert Volker was a member of our battalion and killed by an IED in Baghdad in December of 2006. Corporal Mark Ryan Kagoya was another member of our battalion, and he died on May 24th, 2007, from an earlier IED blast that had killed some of our other battalion members earlier in the month, and died from the wounds sustained in that IED attack. Made it a little bit further. We had hope he was going to make it through, and then ultimately died of those injuries. First Lieutenant Garrison Avery, a year ahead of me at West Point, was hit by an IED in Baghdad. Captain Brian Bunting was the officer I mentioned that I didn't know him at school, even though we'd overlapped there for a year. He was 3 years ahead of me, but I had the privilege of conducting his funeral at Arlington Cemetery when I was there with the Old Guard. Typically, I end my posts each year when I share about the names just before Memorial Day itself with talking about First Lieutenant Chris Gakey, who I already mentioned. So my son's middle namesake. And so that's how I typically round off the names that I share as I tell people about Carry the Load, and I tell people about each of those people, each of their memories. Share anecdotes, stories, invite other people to share the same. and use it to point them to, hey, if you're looking for a place to connect with people who are trying to share the same sort of thing that I am, that we are together, Carry the Load is the perfect place to do it.
Absolutely. And Brian, I'm glad that we had the opportunity for you to share the names of those that you carry today. I appreciate you being able to share that list with me.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the chance to do it. Like I mentioned before, if you register for the march, you get your own personal page associated there that you can use to share the story, share fundraising. And I don't have all the names listed on my personal page there. I do have all their pictures on the page, and working through over time to get more and more of them added to the memorial storyboard so they could be seen on the online tribute wall that Carry the Load publishes, which is a great way to read about more stories as well if you can't make it to the march. We have our memorials all published online as well, so all the ones that have been submitted are going to be hung at the march. You can see their pictures, read their stories, the things that their loved ones have submitted and wanted to share and honor their memory. So you can look at those online, and Carry the Load shares those, particularly throughout Memorial May, but then on kind of key dates throughout the year as well. So their social media would be a great one to follow for a lot of this.
Folks, go to carrytheload.org. Check out their website, find out more information about Carry the Load. Also find them on social media at Carry the Load, LOAD, Carry the Load. And Brian Larson, it's been a real pleasure to have you here on the Mark White Show as an ambassador of Carry the Load.
Thank you, Mark. We appreciate the opportunity to share about it. It's such a blessing to be part of this organization. It's given me a lot, and the opportunity to tell others about it it's exactly what we're about. We're wanting people to know more about this and connect with it and understand that you're not the only one out there carrying something. You can connect with it. You can recognize what Memorial Day is about. And, if nothing else, just ask people who they're carrying and learn a little bit more about the significance of the sacrifice.
Well, again, we appreciate you being able to join us, Brian. And when we look towards Memorial Day, begin to think about those who have sacrificed for us and think about it during your event. I hope that you'll do that. If you're listening right now, that you will incorporate that into your Memorial Day plans. Folks, I want you to follow the Mark White Show. I hope that this show is an encouragement to you. And if it is, I want you to share it with your friends, your neighbors, and your family. Let them know about the Mark White Show and what we're doing to try to make a difference in our communities and sharing stories to encourage and inspire. I also encourage you to subscribe to the Mark White Show podcast via Apple iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Audioboom, SoundCloud, Blueberry, YouTube, and on TuneIn Radio. You have been listening to another edition of the Mark White Show, and this is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
Who live and love in my hometown. These are my kind of people.
Hello there, everybody. This is DJ Svoboda with the Imagifriends of Imagiville, dedicated to spreading autism acceptance and autism inclusion, and you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, everybody. This is DJ Thomas. You know, raindrops may be falling on your head, but on Kyla's corner, she's living life sunny side up.
Nothing seems to fit.
You are my sunshine, my only.
This is Kyla Carter of Kyla's Corner. You can hear my segment every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Eastern Time on The Mark White Show. Remember to tune in every Saturday and always live life sunny side up.
Please don't take my sunshine away.
Is it time for a haircut? Go see my friends Philip Butler and B.H. Parker at Southwind Barbershop, located at 1637 Lee Street in Rogersville, Alabama. Give them a call at 256-247-5658. That's 256-247-5658.
If you like hickory smoked ribs that fall apart at the slightest pull, or barbecue shoulders that are so slow smoked each tender bite melts in your mouth, then you are going to love Baby Jack's Barbecue. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett and Arlington. Try the barbecue chicken, beef brisket sandwich, barbecue potato, it is huge, or the Baby Jack Trio, pork, turkey, or beef brisket sliders. You like wet ribs? They like dry ribs. Get one slab that has them both. Catering? Baby Jack's can feed a family or an army. Drive in, drive through, order online, or come in and set them in. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett at Highway 70 in Appling, or in Arlington at Highway 70, just a block west of 385.
Hello, my name is Christian Martinez. I'm a rising senior at Athens Bible School. My school is great because of the wonderful environment in which students can grow and flourish. We have great academics that include the University Preparatory Diploma and dual enrollment courses that lead to an associate's degree before high school graduation. All my teachers and the school's employees are Christians who are devoted to the welfare of students. We have an excellent student body, competitive sports program, and study the Bible first thing every day. It's a great place. Please consider joining us at ABS next year, or give that special child in your life the great opportunity I have.
Mr. Cecil Batchelor is the one that started this business as Dependable Service Center. And even though now it's Green's Dependable Hardware and we're a True Value store, our tagline is still your Dependable Service Center. We've tried to keep that alive for all these years. Mr. Batchelor really started a good business. We're really excited to be carrying on a long-standing tradition. It's the oldest retail store in the city of Russellville. We're Green's Dependable Hardware, 15220A Highway 43 in Russellville, Alabama. We're right behind McDonald's or right across the street from the hospital. Number is 256-331-0123.
Your Dependable Service Center.
Oh, won't you hear me, people, when I say, well, let's all do something good today.